Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
I love libraries, so I'm very excited about this next segment. Adam Zand and Greg Peverill-Conti are on a mission to visit, rate, and rank every public library in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. The project is called Libraryland, and so far this year, they've been to 96 libraries, bringing their total numbers of libraries visited to 196. They're going to join me now. Greg, how are you?
I'm doing really well. Thank you very much for having us, Tiziana.
Happy to have you. And Adam, welcome.
It's great to be here. Thanks so much.
All right. So 196 libraries. That is a lot of libraries to visit. Greg, would you say you guys are almost done? How many are there? How many do you have to go?
It's a little unclear how many there are.
What? We don't know how many libraries
Someone does.
In Massachusetts, you mean.
But yeah. We've seen some people say there's 350, one for each town, but some towns have branches. I've seen numbers as high as 480. I think it's probably around 450.
And what do you think, Adam? Do you agree with Greg on this elusive number of libraries?
So we have a Google map. We rely on all things Google. And when the map turns all orange, I'll know we're done.
Okay.
When we go to visit a library, we switch it from blue to orange.
So you'll know when you get there, basically.
Exactly.
Well, and listeners can see as well. On our website, we have the map, and they can see it.
So they can follow along with you, kind of like a Dora the Explorer map.
Yes.
Okay. Adam, why visit every single library in the state?
Well, it started out actually out of necessity and location. Greg lives in Natick. I live in Arlington. And when we were forming our PR agency, Sharp Orange, we looked at the map and said, hey, let's not meet each other's houses. Let's meet in the middle, which turned out to be Newton Free Library.
Ah, my library.
And it's a fabulous library. We were able to get a study room that day, and we were super productive in those 2 hours. We planned our website. We planned what kind of clients we wanted to go after. And when we were walking out, we said, hey, we should do this again. Maybe not here, but let's try some other libraries.
And so that's how we got started.
Okay, so how many libraries before you were like, oh, you know what? We should do all the libraries.
Yeah. You know, it was probably maybe a half dozen. We went from Newton to Wellesley to Waltham to Weston to Wayland, a lot
of
the W towns.
Yeah.
And we started noticing differences. Some meeting rooms were really nice. Some had really good parking. Some had, we started noticing differences. And so we started kind of informally rating them.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe 10 in, we formalized the ratings and decided let's try to do the whole state. And we've also now gone beyond Massachusetts and are seeing libraries in other parts of the country.
Isn't that a little ambitious given that you have maybe 450 just to do in the Commonwealth?
Yes. I mean, there's 17,000 public libraries in the United States, approximately.
Yeah, we're going to need some partners if we're going to cover the country. But I think it really is. It can be a great way to see Massachusetts. We've gone to towns that we've sort of heard of a name, and sometimes we haven't even heard them. And you learn a lot about the communities by what kind of library they have and what kind of community events they have. And
what kind of people are coming in and out. I mean, they're as Adam says, they're a great way to see the state. They're a great way to see any community that you're not necessarily a part of, or to be a part of a community if that's where you live.
So you both just said a bunch of stuff that I want to talk to. One of the first ones that I'll pick out is what kind of people come in and out. So do you see lots of different kind of people? Let me ask two questions. One, do you see lots of different kind of people in a particular library? And then do you see lots of different kinds of people across the different libraries you go to?
Libraries are a reflection of their communities. And so you'll see people from that community. The thing that people often think is that when you go to libraries, you're going to see two groups of people,
mm-hmm.
Children and caregivers in the mornings and senior citizens in the afternoon and then students coming home from school. That's three groups.
That is.
Three groups.
It is three.
And I think that holds true often, but we've also seen libraries that attract lots of different audiences. Charlestown here in Boston, that branch – they're one of the few that their primary audience is millennials,
mm-hmm.
Who are coming to work and to study. But you do see a huge diversity of people across libraries and in libraries.
And Adam, does it depend on the time of day or the day of the week that you're at the library, who you're going to see there?
There's a little bit of that. I mean, as Greg mentioned, those sort of caregivers and kids early in the morning, something to do, preschool age. We've been to, you know, we don't spend a lot of time, but there's some pretty creative children's librarians who are coming up with all sorts of programming. But as the day goes along, I mean, we're kind of focused on what we're doing and where we have access. But we always like talking to the librarians. When we walk in, it's sort of the first thing we say, tell us about your library. And then we also, more utilitarian, do you have a study room we might be able to use? So I think Greg's right. I mean, hopefully the sort of myth or anybody who's saying that libraries are sort of fading away in the age of information or the age of Amazon and the internet, we're not feeling that. We're feeling they're really vibrant. And like I said, there's a lot of creative librarians who are coming up with programming and ways that go so far beyond books, DVDs, reading group, you know, the kind of things that we've sort of experienced in the past.
Greg, what's an example of the creative programming that librarians are doing that you've noticed in one of these 196 libraries you've visited?
You know, one that I saw that was really interesting was in Wilmington, where they had a month-long series on civil discourse. Actually, Bill Littlefield was one of their speakers. And it was
has been a host here at WBR Only a Game.
It was to try to get people together to talk about issues in a non-confrontational way. And I thought that was a really great program that, you know, the director came in, saw a need in the community, and designed a program around it. Libraries are doing a lot of that kind of thing.
So for people, Adam, who don't regularly go to the library, what are some of the amenities or services that libraries have that they might not have thought of, oh, hey, I can go to the library for that?
Yeah. The one thing we've seen a lot of is, I mentioned it briefly, Library of Things. And a town like Millis, the library of things basically means you can check out items beyond the DVDs, books, traditional. So we've seen everything from beautiful telescopes, you know, very high-end telescopes, to a carpet cleaning setup in Millis.
So the other day we were out in Oxford, and they have a fiddle you can check out.
A fiddle?
I play the fiddle, so I asked to see it, and it was out of tune.
Oh, no.
So I helped try to tune it. It's a lovely little library in Oxford, and it's a cool addition to the Library of Things.
I think going back to what you can get when you show up, so just like we're producing content right here, a lot of innovative libraries are looking at content production, whether that's podcasting or some of the sort of digital manipulation and moving things from one format to another. There's a library in Easton, Mass. That has a great podcasting room.
Where people can go in and record podcasts.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah. And also we were in Tingsboro a couple weeks ago, and they have their community access TV station actually has a facility connected to the library and also connected to City Hall. It's a multi-use building. So, you know, it's just a question of asking the librarian, you know, what's available and seeking out that Library of Things, what's going on. And then thankfully, there's a lot of digital boards and calendars that libraries are putting up both on their website and as you walk in to find out what's going on today.
So such range and diversity and vibrance in the libraries. Why rank them? Why start rating and ranking them?
You know, because I just do that with a lot of things. But I think it's also helpful, you know, to be able to say, you know, we went to the library in Webster, and you know, Webster is not a wealthy community. It's you know, it was an industrial town. We went to their library, and it got a perfect score.
Is it your only perfect score?
It is the only perfect score.
Oh, Webster. Somebody in Webster just went, woo-ha!
Well, and I'll tell you, the guys, the designers, Odin Zello, they did an amazing job. And so I think it's great to be able to go in and say to a library, you're amazing. I mean, you're all amazing, but people should go to Webster and look at the Gladys Kelly Library. It is amazing.
Okay, so Adam, what gets a library up into that coveted top echelon of your rankings?
So we have the 11 criteria.
Tell us.
Yeah, so we mentioned a few of them. It's sort of our user experience. Different people will have different ways of judging their experience, but we show up, we want hopefully parking or access to transportation.
Wi-Fi?
Yeah, you would think Wi-Fi would sort of be always a five, but it sort of isn't. Some places have passwords that you have to enter. When Greg was in Philadelphia, he had to actually give his library card.
No, I couldn't, because you had to have a Philadelphia library card.
He would have had to be a library patron of Philadelphia to get.
Crazy.
And then some of the things, friendliness when we walk in, how are we greeted? You know, what are people sort of...
What's the appropriate welcome to the library greeting? Like, how does that sound?
So this gets a little creepy, but we're starting to be recognized from
this restaurant. You're like restaurant critics now.
But we always go up and ask, you know, we always, if not introduce ourselves, ask, like, this is our 90th library of this year. Tell us about the library. And it gives us an opportunity to engage in conversations. And, you know, librarians that we've met are so friendly, are so proud of the place they work, are so proud of the communities they serve and what they offer, that given the opportunity to talk about it, they love it. And I love it. And Adam loves it. It's just inspiring.
I think, you know, the rating system's great, but I like the experience of when you look around, what are you seeing? Are there architectural elements? Is there natural light? Are there stained glass windows? Is there interesting art on the wall? We don't necessarily rank those, but I think it does add to our enjoyment of the library. And we're really interested in how different communities are able to support their libraries and what they've done in terms of either rebuilding or renovating or doing additions, or just really keeping kind of a balance between old and new and everything that sort of means in Massachusetts.
So what about one of the libraries that unfortunately is ranked quite low? And what would happen in a library that it's going to be very low in your ranking?
It's interesting. We actually were in a library a few weeks ago, and we were meeting with the director, and she said, "How did we do?" And we said, "Well, here's how you did." And she said, "You know, what could we improve?" And we asked, "Why are your bathroom doors locked? You have a key hanging there, so obviously it's not a security issue." And she said, "It's just been like that all the time." So I hope that libraries will use these and say, "We can make a change there." She actually said, "I'm going to take this to the town and suggest, hey, I need more funds to do new things." It's often happened that we've gone to libraries more than once and on those second visits see things we missed the first time and raise the rating.
So the Institute of Museum and Library Services, which is an independent federal agency, it has said that funding dropped, of course, after the economy kind of bottomed out and has started to ramp back up. But interestingly, we see two things. One, attendance does not drop off at the same rate as funding. And when funding goes back up, attendance really, really climbs. That suggests that libraries are providing a pretty needed set of services. Is that the take from the two of you as well?
Absolutely.
Yep.
And we've heard from so many directors that their numbers, their circulation figures, their number of patrons, number of library cards are all going up. So despite news of libraries' demise, that's not what's actually happening in our communities.
All right. Adam, what would you add to that?
Just that the towns that we're really impressed with are actually the ones that might not have a huge budget, and they've gotten really creative about how to engage with their audience to it just going back to that welcoming. I get the sense that these librarians are always asking their patrons, what can we do? What would you like to see in the library? How can we better serve you? So the money is important. Both Greg and I have we're sort of learning a little bit of how the funding happens. We've been to the legislative day at the State House, and we've talked to our state reps about fully funding libraries. That's the ideal. But we're seeing a lot of creativity and a lot of, hopefully, optimism on everybody's part that libraries are growing.
That is Adam Zand and Greg Peverill-Conti. They co-founded the PR firm Sharp Orange together, and they're on a mission to visit and rate every library in Massachusetts with their project Library Land. For more information and a link to the Library Land website, go to radioboston.org. Adam, thanks for being here.
My pleasure. This was great.
Greg, thanks for joining Radio Boston.
Thank you very much. It was awesome.
That's our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR. I'm Tiziana Deering. Join us again Monday for more Radio Boston.